Welcome back to Oh Snapped, season 2, episode 2.
Oh my gosh, we're doing it.
It's season 2's golden episode.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know, like your golden birthday or whatever.
So it's like whatever age you're turning on, whatever, like what day your birthday's on, that's the age that you're turning.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you had a good one, 18.
I did.
Mine's 11. Like, who even cares?
Yeah, it's like, whatever. Cool horses.
Yeah, that was the height of my cool horses days.
It really was.
I recently found a bookmark that says, I'll be your friend, and it's just a horse on it.
You would think we had horses, but we did not.
Nope, never had one at all.
Not never.
But in my heart, I did.
Well, sure, yeah. In your heart, maybe you still do.
Yep, just a lot of horses in there just galloping around.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I'd like to stop talking about this now.
Yeah, so now on to murder.
Yes.
I think I want to give a little bit of a warning on this episode. So we do have, because this is our clean show, our other show, Killer Queens, not so much. We do use the curse words. On this one, we're not going to use any curse words, but there is some sexual content in this episode, and it's kind of hard to avoid. Like, it's part of the case. So this might not be one that, like, you listen to with a kid around. I mean, just in case.
Yeah, just be aware of the fact that there's going to be some sexual content that we're going to be discussing.
Yeah, and it's really uncomfortable.
Yes. So the episode starts with the narrator saying,
on February 22nd, 2000, 27-year-old widow Cherie Miller stepped onto the tarmac at Bishop International Airport after a high-rolling vacation in Reno. On her arm was her newest accessory, a handsome young boyfriend.
She looked like a Cinderella doll.
But Cherie's jet-setting lifestyle was about to come to an end. Waiting for her were two uniformed officers of the Genesee County Sheriff's Department.
Sergeant Petrovko told me we've got Cherie.
The attractive blonde mother of three was taken into custody and booked on the charge of first-degree murder.
And then we go right to background on her.
Well, they say she was... They did this one a little differently, because usually they open up with, I feel like it's season two, they're trying to play around with different hooks, right? Like, what if we do it this way or that way? Like, what's going to get more people? They don't stick with this way. So,
mm-mm.
I think we figure out the other
way's better. Best.
Yeah, because usually it's the discovery of the body, right? Like, that's what we open up with.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's just like, she's been on vacation, she comes back, and then she's arrested and charged with murder. So you're supposed to, I guess, be like, oh, what happened? But I think that it definitely establishes a little more, like, intrigue when you do it the other way, because I feel like, obviously, they go back to that. But yeah, then we're just right into, she was born in Flint, Michigan.
Yes, as Cherie Kitley, and they said that her childhood was not idyllic. Her family was not very well off. They lived in a single wide trailer, but by the age of 16, she had left home for good. And by 19, she was a single mother with an abusive ex. And Kevin Shanlian, the lead detective, he said that the relationship ended when the father of the child had supposedly abused the child. Good reason to leave.
I would say so. Yeah. And that's a lot to happen by 19, right? Like,
by 19. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then she had two more, they said, dead-end relationships and two more children after that.
Mm-hmm. So she's accomplished a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah. And by the time she meets what goes on to be her husband, she gets a bookkeeping job. And his company is called B&D Auto Salvage. And the owner was Bruce Miller. And he was a hardworking and successful businessman, and he was single.
And a little bit older than her, so he's 47 when she meets him, and she's 26 when she meets him.
Man, that went fast, because...
All of this takes place in less than a year.
Yeah, it does, because they say, yeah, she's 27-year-old by the time she's a widow, so yeah, wow, that is fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Chuck Miller, who was the brother of Bruce, said that
all of a sudden, it got summertime there, and when the kids got out of school, she moved into Bruce's house with him.
And then 3 months later, Cherie and Bruce were married. And Chuck said that Cherie always said that Bruce was the best thing that ever happened to her because she could have a normal life and she didn't have to move around and had someone who had enough money to keep her happy.
Yeah, the narrator said that by the time she met Bruce, or like in between, you know, like her last relationship ending and then when she met Bruce, she was close to living on the streets. So she was not doing well. She had 3 kids that she had to take care of. She was reportedly working super hard. She had, worked a bunch of part-time jobs and stuff, like, trying to keep everything afloat. But, I mean, that's expensive to raise any amount of kids, you know? So she meets him, and it's like, one would think, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't start it out by saying she had it all. Because at this point, she's married to Bruce. She lives with him. It's a stable situation. There's financially, it's a stable situation. She's got somewhere for her, you know, her kids can have their own bedrooms and they've got a backyard to play in and she's got a job and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, it's worlds difference from where she was even just a couple months before that. But her focus is on how much money he has and how much money she can spend.
Exactly.
Because why not?
So Bruce was said to be equally as happy about Cherie. She was young, blonde, and sexy. And I feel it necessary to say, according to the narrator, I saw photos of her. No offense, not my cup of tea.
She was fine.
Yes, she was young and she was blonde. I do feel like she reads older than 26, 27.
For sure. Okay, so because we talked about this in episode 1, like that time, it's just like, you just looked older than you were, I think. It was just like the style to look much older.
Yes. You did your hair a certain way. You wore the clothes a certain way. Like, it definitely gave you the look of appearing older. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Judy Miller, sister-in-law of Bruce, this is Chuck's wife, said that Bruce thought that he had found the perfect wife. But people were starting to think that Cherie was taking advantage of Bruce. And Shanlian, the detective, said that all of a sudden she was out buying things that she could have never afforded. Like, she was getting credit cards in her name and she was running them up, like completely maxing them out.
Yeah, immediately.
And Judy said that they were afraid that she was just after his money, which, why wouldn't they think that? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the exact formula for gold digging.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're just enough outside of that situation that you're like, okay, I see what's happening here. But they brought it up to Bruce and Bruce is like, excuse me, I'm a big boy. I can handle this. I know what's going on. We're in love. Like, he would not hear anything about it. But, you know, it's like, you're so close to it. And of course, you don't want to think your wife married you for any other reason than because she loves you. Like, I mean, that's got to be difficult, but people outside of, you know, that situation are like, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And I'm sure just them being so, they care about Bruce and they don't want him to be hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. But I don't know, maybe Cherie wasn't just after his money because she got her own job selling Mary Kay cosmetics. Some people are really successful with that. I don't know.
Some people drive the pink Cadillac.
I know. I used to work at a salon where a lady came in to get her hair done and she drove her pink Cadillac there every day. It was a nice SUV.
Oh, very pink. They are very nice.
And she wore only very pink. Yeah. Like, always everything
so that
pink.
Was very.
Yeah.
Very her.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, Cherie needs a home computer for her business so she can, like, keep track of all of the sales that she's making and all these things. And, of course, this is 2005, I guess, so it's season 2, 2005. The home computer that they show is just so good. It's the desktop with the tower and...
Yeah. It's so big.
It's so big.
I do remember... when I worked in one of the offices I worked in, and the doctor, we had PCs like for the office, but he had a Mac in his office. And I remember when he first bought this Mac desktop and he had it delivered to the office, and I call and I'm like, oh my God, they forgot half of your computer. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, where's the tower? There's no tower. And he's like, it doesn't have a tower. I'm like, how do they fit everything just into the monitor? Like, I mean,
in the computer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could not understand, like, why there was no tower. And I mean, we had laptops and stuff at that time, but it just, a desktop, I was just like, must have a tower. Where is the tower? They forgot half of the
computer. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's so funny. So yeah, Bruce buys her this computer, and then they both use the computer. So Bruce is booking a trip to go to a car race, and he suggests that Cherie take a trip at that same time that he's going to leave for this car race with a girlfriend. So while Cherie was looking into vacation spots in Reno, it's very unclear to me why Reno was her only jam. This is the only place that she ever wanted to go, but that's the only place that she went.
Yeah, she was super into Reno.
Yes, it was Reno or nothing, Reno or bust.
Yeah.
And so she was looking into places in Reno, but she also started at that time going into chat rooms, and she became obsessed with being in chat rooms.
Yep, totally obsessed. She was like 24/7 being like ASL, ASL.
Yes. Age, sex, location. Yeah. So Dr. Diana Falkenbach, which she's in not all of the episodes, but she's in a ton of them. She starts talking about like how Cherie was exploring this fantasy life on the computer while she was also living her normal life with Bruce. Yeah. So she's trying to like, I guess, balance both of them. I don't know.
Also, Dr. Falkenbach has a really nice new hairdo for season two. It does
look nice.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to name some of her usernames, okay? She had a ton. Okay.
She had like 24 mm-hmm. different usernames.
Yeah, we're only going to name a few, but here they are. Hold on to your butts, because this is crazy. One of them was Horny 7241. I was like, oh, okay. That's there.
72 hours a day, 41 days a year.
Exactly. Love Me Slowly. Okay.
Do the next one. Say the next one.
That one was very Conway Twitty, slow hand.
Yes.
Then, Hot Coochie. It's like, what? Whoa. That one. Okay, there's that one.
Came in hot.
Sweet Baby For You Only. Wow.
These are explicit.
Mm-hmm. Then she was using the screen name I Want To Be Laid. I Want To Be Laid. And she met a man with the screen name Reno Dudes, and they were like, and they clicked immediately. I'm like, yeah, of course they did, because her screen name is I Want To Be Laid. Like, every man clicks with that, you know? Like,
well, yeah, and he kind of had the perfect name for her, because all she cares about is Reno.
Yep, and he's Reno Dudes.
So. And he's Reno Dudes.
Yeah. They talked to the investigator. Is it Ives or you think it's Eve?
I think it's Ives.
Okay.
Petrovka?
Okay. He said they started emailing back and forth. And again, this is all super quick because she even just meets Bruce when she's 26. He's dead by the time she's 27. So she's essentially a brand new newlywed, and she's starting up relationships on the internet immediately.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Bruce was concerned about the time that Cherie was spending on the computer, so he decides to fire it up one day and check it out and see what's going on there. And he was horrified because he found all of these messages and chat rooms that she's in. So he confronts her about it, but she assures him that her chats with Reno Dudes are just harmless flirting. It's fine.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if I found something like that, and I talked to my husband about it. He's like, oh, it's just internet chat. That doesn't matter. I'm like, well, but it's really explicit. And why are you flirting with somebody else?
And you're using the screen name I Want To Be Laid.
My God. I mean, and Dr. Falkenbach is like, so many people are like, oh, internet affairs don't count because there's no physical activity, you know, we're not actually having sex or anything, doesn't count as cheating. And she's like, no, that's still having an affair. Like, it's an emotional affair. And I don't know, in some ways, Not that one is worse than the other necessarily, but I almost feel like it is kind of a little bit worse. Like, I don't know. It's like in Friends when Joey finds out that Chandler kissed Kathy. And he's like, did you sleep with her? And he's like, no, of course not. I just kissed her. And he's like, what? That's worse. It's like, you know.
He's like, it is. And he's like, no, but it's the same.
Yeah. And he's like, because it wasn't even just like about sex. I don't know. It's like more than that. It's just like you're more invested.
Yeah, for some reason we can justify like, okay, well, we all have these like desires that we need, or like maybe, you know, there's something in the marriage that you're not getting if it's a physical thing, but emotionally that hurts worse.
Yeah, yeah, that sucks. I feel bad for Bruce.
It does. I know. Yeah. So Bruce understandably is like, Cherie, I really don't think you should go to Reno.
Sure.
I really don't think you should go. But then she's like,
What's the problem here? I'm not going to actually hook up with anybody, if that's what you think. I mean, I know that my screen name is I Want to Be Laid, and I'm talking to this one dude all the time and being like, hey, whenever we bang, this is what it's going to be like. But I'm not actually going to hook up with him, even though he's in Reno and I'm exactly going to Reno.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's like not, he is not Boston buddies.
Yeah.
He's Reno dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to Reno.
Yeah, they fought about it, they got into it, and Bruce gave in and said, okay, fine, I'll trust you.
I cannot, ugh. Mm-hmm. So then Cherie was in Reno for 5 days. I don't know what you could possibly do in Reno on vacation for 5 days, except just have all of the sex with your online internet boyfriend.
Exactly.
So then once she gets back to Flint, she told Bruce that she would be visiting Reno regularly because she was going to go for business meetings. She would attend regular Mary Kay parties.
Okay, Cherie, I do not even think so. I need to go there for my Mary Kay business. I don't, that's a local thing. Like,
exactly.
It wasn't like she had a website.
Maybe once a year.
Yeah, maybe once a year they have a conference. Yeah. And it's probably not in Reno every year. That never happens. You know, they move around.
Exactly.
But she went to Reno like 2 or 3 times in like a month or two, or like 3 or 4 times in a month or two. It was like she started going all the time, which that's got to be expensive too.
Yeah. Super expensive. And so Bruce is keeping the kids while she's gone. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah. And when she was home, she's spending more and more time online chatting with Reno dudes. She had a home computer and a work computer, and she was always on it wherever she was. And Bruce just kind of was like, this is just the way that it is now, I guess. So sad. He just kind of like dealt with it kind of thing.
Yeah, he just accepted it. But it was weird because everybody else seemed to see that Bruce and Cherie were better than ever. They seemed happy, and Bruce was actually looking into adopting her 3 children.
That's commitment.
It's also a slap in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. For her. Or
yeah.
From her. Yeah.
For him. From her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Until the night of November 8th, 1999, it was 8 p.m. and Bruce was late coming home. Cherie was getting worried. Judy, the sister-in-law, said Cherie called them at like 7:30 and she was kind of frantic. So Chuck and Judy decided to go out to the salvage yard and they saw Bruce's truck in the parking lot. And she said at first everything was fine. They go into Bruce's office. He's laying behind the counter in a pool of blood. And Judy and Chuck went over to him and they were, you know, yelling his name, calling out to him. He's not answering. He doesn't have a pulse. There's a lot of blood. So Judy calls the police. And at first they thought he'd had a heart attack and maybe like bumped his head when he fell out of the chair. But when police got there, they're like, no, this is a murder.
If they had done a little bit more investigating, probably, which I understand why they wouldn't have wanted to like go in there and touch the body. But absolutely, they would have found that Bruce had a shotgun wound to his chest and he had many puncture wounds from the buckshot from the shotgun blast.
And his brother Chuck was like, Bruce had so many friends. Everybody loved Bruce. Like, we didn't know who would want to kill him for any reason. And the police drive to Cherie's house. They tell her that her husband is dead. She loses it. She's like screaming. She's doing the whole nine yards. She's very upset.
Yeah, it makes a big production.
And they're looking for clues, and they thought at first maybe it was robbery gone bad because Bruce was known to keep large amounts of cash on him, and that cash was missing. He didn't have any cash in his pocket, as per usual. But other than that, there was nothing else to suggest a robbery. So they were pretty much like, they didn't know where to go. They didn't have any suspects. They didn't really have any evidence. They had nothing to really lead the investigation.
But okay, so they maybe didn't have much evidence, but they noticed that Cherie was acting super weird after Bruce's murder. So 2 days after Bruce's murder, she was dancing in a bar in Otisville, Michigan, and committing sex acts on the floor.
I have questions. Where are her children?
Yes.
But also, you know, you can never, we say this all the time, you can't judge somebody by the way they're acting or whatever. This is pretty over the top. Your husband was murdered 2 days ago. And you are, it's not just you're out dancing, you're committing sex acts on the dance floor? What is happening here?
Part of me wants to know what the sex acts involved, and then part of me, the bigger part of me, does not want to even know, so I don't have to visualize it.
Yeah.
Because in the episode, they showed, they didn't just paint a picture, they showed a lot of things that I had never wanted to see.
Exactly, yeah. This very much, so this is why I was woke up pretty much mad at Casey Anthony again, because it reminds me of, while her daughter is missing, she's out having the time of her life, dancing at clubs.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
This is not just, I don't know, there's so much like opinion in how somebody is acting. I feel like this is kind of one of those things where you're like, okay, something's not right here. Like, I think anybody could say something's not right here.
Oh, yeah.
And then within a few weeks of that, she had a live-in boyfriend, the local Schwann guy, whatever that is. Was it ice cream they said?
Yeah. Somebody said ice cream later on. Yeah, he's a local delivery man named Jeff Foster. And Judy, the sister-in-law, was like, yeah, it was what, about a month after?
Yeah, he was living
Bruce was
there.
Murdered?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his house. I cannot believe this. So, of course, she doesn't look like a grieving widow, but again, just because she didn't seem sad didn't mean she didn't kill him. And she herself had a rock solid alibi. She was at home when the murder happened, but she was on the phone at the time.
So she had called Chuck and Judy to ask them about Bruce. So with no evidence, the investigation came to a halt. Then in February 2000, cops received a super bizarre tip. Ives said that he got a call from an attorney in Kansas City, and he called and asked if they had a murder in their district because he had a briefcase with information for them. Like, how does this happen? In what world?
This is crazy. This is like a movie plot.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The briefcase belonged to a former sheriff's deputy named Jerry Cassaday, and he had recently committed suicide. The prosecutor, Marcy Mabry, said that
they had this briefcase that had a suicide note from Jerry Cassaday in it, explaining that he had killed Bruce Miller and why he killed Bruce Miller in conjunction with Cherie Miller.
He was also a pit boss at a casino in Reno, and he spent a lot of time in internet chat rooms chatting with Cherie. We found Reno dudes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yes. So Carol Slaughter, a friend of Jerry Cassaday, said that Cherie entered Jerry's life when he was at a low point in his life. His marriage was breaking up. He was in a new area and he didn't have hardly any friends. So he turns to the internet and meets Cherie.
Yeah. And then Dr. James Murray is back. And he said that Jerry seemed to see in Cherie as someone he could connect with. And he seemed to put like a lot of fantasies into her. And they found out that not only were they talking on the internet, they did also have a physical relationship, because when they were searching Jerry's home, they found videotapes of Cherie fondling herself to music. And you guys, there's like, I mean, you don't see any actual action, I guess, in the episode, but there's enough there. I mean, it's pretty...
It paints a picture, and you can definitely, you get what there, what's going on that you don't see. Like,
yeah.
It alludes perfectly.
So much. And of course, he's the reason she's flying to Reno all the time for her quote-unquote business trips.
Right, because it's business time.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess she technically wasn't lying.
Right. Getting down to business, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Carol said that from her understanding, Cherie would do anything in the bedroom, which, okay, this, I guess, is interesting information as it pertains to the case, but stuff I just don't even want to think about. But she says she would do anything in the bedroom, and it was a smorgasbord, and Jerry thought that he had hit the jackpot.
I guess, okay, so like, I guess people have close friends, right? And maybe, I don't know, maybe you start dating somebody and you're like, let me tell you, the sex is amazing or something. I don't know. Maybe that's what happens. But I don't know. I guess, I mean, they're obviously close enough where he's like, hey, girl, just to let you know, I started dating this girl, woman, whatever, and she literally would do anything in the bedroom. It's like, I don't know. Like, I'm fine not knowing what my friends do in the bedroom. I don't need to know, like, positions. I don't need to know specifically what all you are doing in there. I assume, you know, there's stuff going on. A lot of my friends have kids. I know where babies come from. Like, I don't need to know the deets, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like, so you could never make it as a hairstylist because people tell you that kind of stuff without ever asking. They also sometimes, when they're trying to pull up pictures of what they want with their hair, they happen upon a nude photo. It's happened.
Oh, no. Well, actually.
Or, I'm not done. I'm so sorry. Yeah. When they go to search for like a photo or something on the internet, their last search comes up too. And it's like, how do you know if you have crabs?
God.
It's things like this. I've seen it.
We have had some people come in when I used to work at a plastic surgery office. Because, okay, if you're going to get like implants or like a lip with implants or whatever, there are different shapes, right, that like you could come out with, or different levels of like what we call projection, how, you know, how much, essentially how much like cleavage you would have, how full they are up top, all that kind of stuff. So I definitely have had people come in because we would say, you know, if there's something somewhere that you've got like a picture of you want to show us, sometimes it would be people like bring in a picture of themselves in a bathing suit like before they had kids, right? They're like, I just want to be back to this or whatever. But we would also have people bring in where you could tell they were watching porn videos and they were like screenshotting it, or like they'd bring in like Playboy magazines or stuff like that. But like the screenshotting of the porn, I'm like, ew. And they would print it out. And I'm like, ew, I don't want to touch this piece of paper.
No, that's bringing somebody into something that they have no business being brought into. That's too real.
No.
It's too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not only did police find out about their little tryst and that Jerry Cassaday is Reno Dudes, they also found out that Cherie told Jerry that she was pregnant and that Jerry was the father, but that her husband, Bruce, had beat her so badly that she miscarried.
That is absolutely horrible to do to somebody.
Just the manipulation.
Yes. Yeah, the manipulation. Because she's, on one hand, manipulating Bruce in a horrible way. He's thinking mm-hmm. about adopting her children. She is big fat, having all kinds of, like, because Reno Dudes is not the only relationship she's having on the internet, first of all. But then to tell him that her husband is so abusive that she's miscarried their child together, yeah, you're going to be able to make somebody maybe do some stuff they wouldn't normally do otherwise. Because this Jerry Cassaday actually loved her. He thought she was pregnant with his child. That's a huge motivator and something like just so manipulative to do to somebody, to think that their child did not survive because of this other man, you know? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're gonna instill some anger and some maybe somebody wanting to be vindictive or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is playing with people's emotions yeah. to such a significant degree that you're setting this train in motion and mm-hmm. it is like flying off the tracks and you're like sitting back and watching it happen.
Yeah. And to sit there and be like, what? Because clearly what she's trying to do is solicit this murder, right? So she can't just be like, hey, I don't want to be married to my husband anymore. How about you kill him? She's like, what can I do? I now have gotten to know this person. what could I do to make him commit a murder? How could I get him to become somebody that he's not, to do my bidding? I know, I'll tell him I was pregnant with this kid. That's horrible.
Exactly. It's the worst. I cannot believe this woman.
No.
Then in all of the emails, they found the blueprints for Bruce's murder. Cherie laid out where to park, said that it was deer hunting season, so no one would hear the shot. She's like telling him all of the local things that he would need to know to carry out this murder.
Yeah, even like how much money Bruce would have in his pocket at the time. Make sure you take that. All of those things.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, and this is where the narrator comes in, she says,
but if Jerry Cassaday thought he was going to be with Cherie forever once Bruce Miller was out of the way, he was dead wrong.
Unnecessary, snapped. Come on.
I know. That was just, yeah.
Low blow.
Low hanging fruit.
Cherie told Jerry at this point, so he's now murdered her husband, and he's like, oh, okay, you're safe now. You're not going to be abused by this man anymore. You know, we can be together like we've talked about, all these things. She's like, yeah, actually, I have some other boyfriends, so unfortunately, you and I are now broken up. Thanks, bye.
And Jerry loved her.
He did.
And he murdered for her. Mm-hmm. And he was so distraught by everything that happened that he couldn't live with himself anymore, so he committed suicide.
She murdered Terrible. Two people. Yeah, this was...
She sure did.
Jerry's death, I look at as a murder, 100%.
Well, I don't think that it would have happened.
No.
Maybe at the time it happened, or even happened at all, if Cherie had not come into his life and put him in this position, because exactly. She implicated everything.
Mm-hmm. Because then he probably figured out that none of what she told him was true. And so he's like, mm-hmm. Oh my, I have killed somebody. Like,
to realize that you've been manipulated that bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, the things that must have gone through his mind. What kind of person am I? What have I done? You know, all these things. And he's just like, I can't. Oh, it's so sad. It's so, so sad.
Yep. And he has like literally nothing to show for it. It's just terrible.
On February 22nd, with the evidence from Jerry's briefcase, police charged Cherie with first degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. But when they went to arrest her, she was gone. She was, of course, in Reno because it's her favorite place in the whole entire world. Now she's going there with Jeff Foster. I don't know what her deal is with Reno. I mean, I'm sure it's like a wonderful city or whatever, but it's just like, she's really hardcore, just like only on Reno. She's never visited anywhere else. Like,
I know. And the only thing that I really know about Reno, to be honest with you, is that's where Dolores Van Cartier performed in Sister Act.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's like skiing up there, Lake Tahoe, right?
I don't know. I also know that there's gambling there.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah. Maybe that's
Isn't it
what
like
her
the
thing
little
is.
Vegas?
Yeah, maybe she likes gambling or something. I don't know. But of course, we know because in the intro, when she landed at the airport that day, she was arrested. So
yes.
The police called Chuck to let him know, okay, we've arrested her. And they were like, look, she was not the trigger man, but she made it happen. And she has a paper trail a mile long. And she had the nerve to call Bruce's mom and be like, oh, I'm going to get all this sorted out. Like, don't you worry. I had nothing to do with this. It's all a big misunderstanding and it'll all be fine in the end. What a jerk.
I could not believe that. I know. I could not believe that.
She was held without bond until her trial. So she sat in jail and her trial started on December the 12th, 2000.
So prosecutors went for the jugular and they said that Cherie got into chat rooms with the mission to find someone to kill her husband. And I think that that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
They said that she found the man to do it when she met Jerry Cassaday, a.k.a. Reno Dudes, and she won him over with sex, lies, and videotape.
Oof.
I know.
She sure did.
Prosecution introduced the evidence... or into evidence the videotapes, which I cannot imagine what that was like for the jury.
Oh my goodness.
No one needs to see the things that we all saw watching that snapped episode.
Oh my gosh, it's rough. It's rough.
Then they introduced the emails and the instant messages and they showed how she manipulated Jerry. So they said that Cherie wanted Bruce dead for money. And a divorce wouldn't have given her everything that she wanted. And she ended up getting $167,000.
Which is not which Chuck that was much like, money, but...
I know, but Chuck is like, for somebody who has come from nothing, it is a lot of money.
Yeah, to her, she's like, jackpot. That's all I need. Which is ridiculous, but yeah. And the defense put Cherie on the stand. And they said that she wore clothes that she absolutely never would have worn before. Again, Casey Anthony. She looked like mousy. And
Jodi Arias.
And she looked like a librarian. I mean, she was like, you know, had glasses on and she had these like suits or just really not necessarily, I don't know, frumpy or whatever, but just very modest clothing. Like,
yes. And it was ridiculous. Every time you see her, the pout that she has on her face, she looked mad.
And like, it's a far cry from the woman who 2 days after her husband was murdered was given BJs on the dance floor at the club. Like, I mean, exactly. I don't know what she did, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
When asked about the emails outlining the murder of Bruce, she said that Jerry made them up, that he fabricated all of it. And her defense attorney, David Nicola, said there's absolutely nothing on a computer that can be original that cannot be changed or deleted. Okay. Well, it wasn't deleted. Okay. So there's that. Yeah. Jot that down, David Nicola.
Exactly.
And you can tell where something originated from. Thank you very much. It's called forensic.
I know, exactly.
Forensic computer stuff. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Jot that down as well.
Jot that down.
But he also says, he was like, Jerry, in a last-ditch effort to take a life that he flushed down the toilet, he decided to take Cherie down with him.
I cannot with this man. He is on my last nerve.
Roll my eyes, roll my eyes, roll my eyes. But he has to be that way. If he's going to be her defense attorney, he's got to pick up for her.
Yeah, I know.
So the defense, their argument sounded plausible until the prosecution brought in a security expert from America Online. You've got mail. And he explained that an instant message can be fabricated, but it would be incredibly difficult. And he also verified that Cherie Miller and Jerry Cassidy were online at the time that those messages were sent.
Yeah. So,
bye, David Nicola.
Exactly. Like, technically, sure, you could alter them, but you would have to be like a forensic computer guy. Okay. Like, you can't do that. It's not right. Easy for somebody who, I mean, obviously she's not good at hiding her paper trail, right? So
clearly.
Yeah. And Reno dudes had no reason to hide his paper trail, at least initially, because it was just this relationship online. He was divorced or going through a divorce. He was separated at the very least. Like, he didn't have a reason to hide it. So whatever. And he said that when the jury was deliberating, it took them 3 days. He said you could hear screaming from the deliberation room and people would come out looking like they'd been crying. And he's like, you know, I've seen some juries kind of go at it, but never to that extent. So, you know, he was thinking we've got it because they can't agree.
Right.
But on December 22nd, the jury had reached a verdict and they found her guilty on all charges. She was sentenced to life in prison plus 54 years.
Dang. So Dr. Murray said that Cherie got married, had an affair, told the man she was having an affair with that she was pregnant, got her husband killed, and moved in with another man all in a year's time. Mm-hmm. Relationships meant nothing to her.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like, she, there's so many other ways this could go, right? She came from nothing. They said she was on the verge of living on the streets when she met Bruce. And then she has a home and she has a safe place for her kids to live. And she has financial security and all these things. And the only thing, like, she doesn't feel grateful for any of this. She feels this is not enough. I deserve more. And I don't want to have to deal with the man who is providing me with everything I could have ever wanted.
Like, exactly. And he only loved her and cared about her.
He did.
He literally was the sweetest. I mean, from what I can tell, she had no reason to lie the way that she did about this man.
No, no it's reason. Horrible. Yeah, just, yeah.
All she did was exploit his love.
Exactly.
So at the time of the airing of this episode, it said Cherie Miller is serving her life sentence at the Robert Scott Correctional Facility for Women. She maintains her innocence and had appealed her case to the Michigan Court of Appeals. Cherie's children currently live with her mother. Then I did some digging, and in an article for Michigan Live on January 19th, 2019, she finally admitted her guilt. So she says, "I was living two lives and I got caught up and I did not want to get caught, so I planned a murder and went through with it." She also said, "Instead of my family or Bruce's family finding out what I really was, I thought I could cover it up by having Bruce murdered. I cannot deny this anymore. I had 16 and a half hours to stop it, and I didn't. I knew it was going to happen, and I allowed it. I allowed a man to kill another man based on my lies and manipulation." Cherie also says that she was unable to get pregnant following a medical procedure, and she recanted the other accusations about her husband in her confession letter. She said, "He was a great man. He never hurt me or my children. All he did was love us. He wanted to adopt my children. He just wanted a family. The only man who loved me for me, and I had him killed." And I hope to God that Cherie has to live with this every day and remember how terrible of a person she is. And I hope that she has repented and changed her ways. I don't know what else she could do in jail other than do that, but I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. Like, when I read this, I was like, oh, this one. Okay. Okay, Cherie.
Yeah, at least she's clearing. I mean, everybody knows that she was lying about it, but at least she's clearing his name. Like,
totally.
And to sit there and be like, yeah, so I just didn't want anybody to know, like, the stuff that I was doing. So instead of anybody finding out about the, like, double life I was leading online, Bruce's life was worth less than my reputation. To just immediate family. This is not, she's not the freaking Pope, you know? Like, it's not like the whole world right. is going to find out. Like, it's just some people that you know. I mean, sure, it's like, that's your reputation is your reputation. It's just, you know, there are also things you could do to maybe not tarnish your own reputation. Do you ever think of that, Cherie?
Exactly. Like, you are responsible for your own reputation mm-hmm. to an extent, right? I mean, people can say things about you all day long. You are in charge of your actions, and those actions have consequences.
100%.
And look what you did.
Yeah, exactly. And you had somebody killed for it. And you really killed two people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because to lie to somebody.
And now you have three children.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. Rough stuff.
Yes.
But that's the case.
That's it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.